Our reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Esther?
How's that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. I should trust the sound people anyways, because he said, you want me just to handle it for you? I said, no, I can do it. And I forgot. That's part of the problem of being old. But God bless you. You are, this church and this fellowship and this community are always in our prayers. We feel like we're part of you, even though we haven't been here very much lately. And we do feel your prayers, by the way, because I'm not experiencing any pain. Maybe a little discomfort every now and then, but I'm not experiencing pain. And for that, I am extremely grateful. I've been diagnosed with a very aggressive kind of cancer in my prostate. And out of a scale of 1 to 10, they're 9s for the most part. So I really do need your prayers. We will be starting therapy on Tuesday of this week, and I don't have a clue what I'm going to run into or what kind of effect I will be having. Radiation, they say, oh, that goes okay. When you talk to one person, you talk to another one, and they say something different. So I don't know what God has in store, but all I know is I'm going to, whatever life God gives me, I'm going to use it for him. Amen?
Amen.
We all should have that kind of an attitude. We want to serve Jesus until he decides it's time for us to go home. And I've spent a lot of time searching my soul, I can tell you that, because I am getting a little older, so it isn't, I don't bounce back quite as quickly from issues. But anyways, I just wanted to bring you up to date on that. I will be having what they call hormone therapy, and my understanding of this radiation and hormone therapy is that the hormone therapy arrests the progression of the cancer, and the radiation is to kill it. So pray that that works, so that I may be able to come back again sometime in the future and minister. We love you people very much, And I said to Gloria, I says, if I can get through all of this without crying, it'll be pretty much of a miracle. Because you folks are precious. And the text that I have selected for today really are my life verses. I started out over 50 years ago, and God gave me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. They were in part of our scripture reading this morning, and that's where I want to center some of my attention, because I want you to know that the Word of God truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. He is our shepherd. He is the one who walks with us and cares for us. And it's not just when the sun's shining, it's when the clouds have covered over our lives. He is still faithful and true. And so I'm very grateful for these verses. I've carried them with me all these years of ministry. We started out in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania in, what year was it, 1973. So this August will be 50 years of pastoral ministry. To God be the glory. And when I look at this church and I look at its ministry and I look at the impact on this community, to God be the glory. I'm so grateful for every soul that has come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Children, adults, young adults. I know when we were doing the Bible study here, many, many people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a glorious time I have when I reminisce. So forgive me if I start in on it. But there are these two scriptures. The other scripture that I have that are a life verse, and the challenge from the Lord was from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. It says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. 50 years ago, the necessity was laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I want to be faithful at preaching the gospel. That's what transforms people's lives. And the reason that this church is here today is because God transforms the people's lives. And they made a holy covenant with God. And I remember I tested it. That original group, some of you may be sitting in the auditorium this morning, you received a pink slip from me at one of the Bible studies. And on it was a whole series of questions. Are you willing to support the church regularly? Are you willing to hold any office God would direct you to do? Will you give sacrificially money? And I had a little line on the end of that asking how much. And I'm not going to rehearse the rest of that. That's not necessary. But the result of that was, I said, we're going ahead. We're moving ahead. We're going to start a church here. We're going to do the necessary groundwork that we needed to do to make a church a church. May God receive all the glory. I don't want any of it. All I want is God to be glorified and many more souls. I'm so excited when I think about another phase of the building being built. You know, many young people, many couples, many people I am praying that will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Don't listen to the devil in the world. God is still at work. He's still saving souls. He's still in that business. And he's going to be until the rapture comes or we pass into his presence. Let us be faithful. And that's why I wanted to, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If we do not exalt Jesus Christ, if we do not lift him up, then let's just close the doors. It's all about Jesus. Jesus only. There's only one way to heaven. And don't let the devil's world out there fake you out and tell you that's not true. There's a lot of ways to heaven. No, the Bible teaches us there's one way to heaven. Jesus is the what? Can we quote it? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. And so that's why I'm here this morning, just to say that. If you don't hear anything else, just remember that. God is faithful to his words. And then these words, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. God help us. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Oh, may God give us all of that. So the theme of what I want to really talk about this morning comes from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And the general theme that I want to talk about is being able to live right side up in an upside down world. I've used that phrase a number of different times. But you know what? We're living in an upside down world. And it takes some skill. Take some spiritual skill to stay upright in this world that we're living in. I can remember back in the late 70s, there were some things happening in the Harrisburg area. I think there was a rationing of gas, and there was TMI, and there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And just so happened that that year, I had bought a family ticket to Hershey Park and couldn't use it. I mean, nobody was on the roads. And one day, we just kind of made up our minds as a family. We're going. We had spent the money for this season ticket, so we went over there. And Gloria and I think she counted 18 times. 19 times. We rode the Super Duper Looper. There was nobody in the lines. So we Super Duper looped, got off, came around and super duper looped 19 times with our kids. I thought I was in an upside down world. After a while, it kind of gets you. And then we went from there to another ride that was at Hershey Park, probably still there, called the Cyclops. You know what the Cyclops is? It has cages and it starts out going this way. And then eventually, it ends up like a Ferris wheel, this way. I don't know how many times we rode that. And I'm just saying that to us this morning. Sometimes, when we're facing the world out there, going to work or going to school or doing whatever we're doing out there, it seems like we're on the Cyclops or the Super Duper Looper. And we're struggling all the time to stay upright. When I got off of that, I thought to myself, I've got to sit down here until my brain stops spinning. Don't you feel that way sometimes in the world that you're in? It just doesn't seem, it's constant upside down kinds of things that are happening to us. In our world today, and I don't want to be too hard on the world because I think that God has a plan for what's going on, and you and I are part of that plan. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. So even though the world might be upside down, we need to go out there right side up and tell the upside down world what the truth is so that they know too how to live. But everything is upside down. I was thinking about this week. Morally, I mean, things that when many of us grew up having to do with sexual things and sensual things, nowadays, that's okay, because our morality has no standards. Whatever feels good to you, do it. That's the lie of the devil. I can tell you that right now. If it feels good to you, maybe it would be a good idea to see if there's a red flag someplace. Because it may not be what God wants us to do. In an upside down world, we have to be careful that we stay upright so that we're able to see the morality of the culture that we live in today. Ethics is another one. What used to be wrong for us to do somehow becomes okay in our world today. There are no absolutes. The other one that kind of gets me a little bit is that we're trying to tell our little boys that they can be little girls if they want to be. And they're telling our little girls that they can be little boys if they want to be. That's nonsense. That is upside down. And we as Christians, I have always been a strong believer and proponent of homeschooling, but Christian parents ought to be doing it. If they're not formally giving education, they ought to be spending time every day teaching morals and morality and godliness to their children. If they don't feel qualified to teach arithmetic, teach the morality, teach them spiritual things, that they will be able to stay upright in an upside down world that they're living in. May God help us. Things that were wrong are now right, and things that were right are now wrong. It's hard to live, really, in an upside down world. But we can. We can live right side up if you want to. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hand, but you can raise your hand in your heart. Do you want to live upside down, or do you want to live right side up? And I'm telling you, if you decided it, you put your invisible hand up, I want to live right side up, it's going to be tough. But God is bigger than any obstacle that you're going to run into. You will be victorious through it all. Another thing in our culture today that's upside down, society and our culture, even in around the world, is saying it's really okay to eliminate God. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It definitely matters. Look at the condition of our schools. We've taken God out of our schools, and now we're having school shootings of 6-year-olds and 7-year-old kids that are coming into school and shooting. Oh, our government is so full of agnostics and atheists. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a pastor and I'm not a politician, but I do want to say this to us. From my perspective, we as Christians need to be voting for people that love Jesus with all their heart and get them into our government. You might not like how they part their hair or the color of their hair or how big they are or how short they are, but if they love Jesus, let's get them in there. Let's get them in on the local levels. And let's get these people in on the state levels and on the federal level. So we can turn this upside down world right side up. It's sad when you see what's happening to some major religious organizations nowadays, and I'm not going to name any, okay? I'm not going to do that. But you live in the same upside down world as I do, and so you know. there are some religious organizations today that are denying the very truth of the scriptures. They're upside down. May God help this church. May God help this pastor. May God help this pastor's family to live right side up. First Peter, when he's writing that book, chapter 3, verse 17, he says this, it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We know what to do when we know what is right and we do not do it. Personally, I would call that sin. It's our disobedience. Because God wants his children to live right side up. Now, I'm coming to my text. And knowing me, it could take a long time, and then again, it could be very short. My first point this morning from the verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My first point is dependence. We have a trustworthy God. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, I just want to remind you, this is very personal to me. For the last 50 years, I've been trying and endeavoring to live this way. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's easy. But this verse of scripture is teaching us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And one of the most important words in that verse is only has three letters in it. It's all. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not part of your heart, but all of your heart. And sometimes that's really, really hard when the upside down world is staring you in the face and saying you're nuts. To give all of yourself to a God that you've never seen? I've never seen Jesus. I know he walked on this earth 2,000 plus years ago, but I have not seen him. But boy, have I experienced him. He's as real to me as Gloria is real to me, sitting right there in front of my eyes. He's real. He's our God. And he wants all of us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That means all of our heart, all that we are. The word trust in Hebrew means God is able to do what he promised. You believe it? Do you believe that God is able to do something that seems totally impossible? I'm actually banking on that. Trust is being confident or having a sense of security. We can put our confidence and security in Christ. Now, there's a word that we used to use years and years and years ago. It has a totally different meaning now. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see a different meaning. But it's the word careless. Now, the first thing that comes to your mind and my mind, in our culture today, that's being careless to do that. It has a very negative connotation to it. But if you really want to understand what trusting in the Lord is all about, is understand that we can be without care, careless. We can live in a world of care, upside downness. And we can be careless. Now, I don't recommend we start using that word other than with an explanation like this in our culture today, because the connotation of careless is just, you ain't going to make it, boy. But I want to tell you what, with Jesus Christ, we make it. And we can go through this life without care, because he's the master. And he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we can ask or think. Someone said about this word, all. Someone said this, all means all. And that all, and that's all means. I thought that was kind of clever. But it does make the point. All means all. Other people have used words like a former president and said is. Who cares what is it? But I want to tell you what. All is important. All of our hearts. I'm not forgetting about the whole verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And our hearts is that part of our being that's a central control of who we basically are. Our mental abilities, our emotional abilities, all of the things, our intellectual abilities, all of that is included in our heart. Jesus wants all of our heart. Not some of our heart, but all of our heart. Nothing held back. Every part of our being belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my heart. That means there is no room for anything or anyone else. It's Jesus only. Dr. Simpson wrote a great hymn. I'm an Alliance pastor for 50 years. And I learned some very special theology in some of the hymns that Dr. Simpson wrote, who was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Jesus only is our message. He is our all in all. Everything in Jesus. And Jesus, everything. So he wants our whole heart. We can depend on him. We can trust in him with all of our hearts. The second point I want to say is this. Dedication is part of this portion of scripture. Lean not unto your own understanding. Wow. Boy, do I have ever struggled with that over my life. Have you? Have you struggled with the whole concept of not leaning on our own understanding? Unfortunately, most of us go there first. And then when that doesn't work out, maybe I ought to talk to God about this. And we should reverse that. And I've learned that over 50 years. It took me a long time, right? It's Jesus that we're leaning on. We need to be dedicated to him, not on our own selves and our own understanding. Lean means to support oneself, to rely on something, to rest upon it. And we are leaning on ourselves, then we are not trusting God with all our hearts. We're still leaning on our own understanding. And I can tell you, over the years of ministry, I wish I would have listened to God first. And I think if you would be honest with yourself in your life, you can think back a few times when you leaned on your own self and not on the understanding that you maybe have read in the scriptures, God's way. Lean not unto your own understanding. Let's lean on Jesus. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Whoever wrote that hymn had it right. Let's learn to lean on the precious Savior who cares about us. I think of the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel. I'm not going to take time to read it. I'm going to assume that you folks know the story of Hannah and the birth of Samuel and how that came about. But Hannah went to Eli, the priest, and for that time of celebration and offering of their gifts of dedication to the Lord. And she was barren. And she spent time at the altar. And Eli, the priest, thought she was losing her mind, because he's sitting back in the corner watching what's going on, and she's there on her knees at the altar, and her lips were moving. And he says, she's drunk. She's out of her mind. Something's going on here. And when he confronted her about it, he said, no. She says, my heart is burdened. I'm asking God for a son. And if God answers my prayer, then I will dedicate him wholly to the Lord. This blows my mind, really. I mean, it's so contrary to motherhood. But it sure does fit here. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And he was directing God, take Samuel back to Eli after you've weaned him and leave him there. Hey, moms, how many of you would like to do that? That would be a tough one. I could even say, hey, dads, how many of you would want your wife to take your only son and give him to the pastor Schley to raise and to train? You say, you got to be out of your mind. But when I think about this, I think about this woman, Hannah. She was not trusting in her own self. She was trusting in what God said to her. Lean not on my understanding of it. God has a greater plan, a more wonderful plan. God has something more special. Think of the ministry and the work that Samuel performed. Gloria and I were talking about it at our house. This is just a little trivia thing. He said, and a razor will never touch his hair. Now, I don't know how long Samuel lived, but we know he was a little old man. So he must have had a bun about this big around on top of his head. I mean, this guy must have had a super head of hair. No wonder when the Bible says they saw Samuel coming. Oh, they knew who it was. He had this huge beehive on top of his head. But it was all because of the dedication of Hannah, his mother, who cried out to God, would not take no for an answer. She was not leaning on herself. She knew she was inadequate. She knew she was coming up short all the time. She was suffering in the home because she was inadequate. And she was pleading with God to give her a son. If you give me the son, I will give him to you for all of his life, and a razor will not touch his head. Everybody knew when Samuel was coming. And he was a powerful man, one of the judges of Israel. So lean not on your own understanding. God has something special for you. But it's interesting to me, how do you know then what God has special for you? Well, you just need to practice what Hannah did. Stay on your knees before God. You have a need, you have a direction, you're looking for direction, stay on your knees. You just might be surprised how many answers to prayer you get. I think in the last two or three weeks, I've had a multitude of answers to prayer. Little things, big things. Some of them are still requests that are out there. I'm waiting yet for answers, just like Hannah. Dedication, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. And when we acknowledge the Lord, point three is he gives us direction. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I like the NIV and the new NIV, because it uses a really unique word. And I learned this some time ago, the difference between will and shall. Shall is a more legal term. If you're writing up a legal, some of you may be paralegals and would understand this better than I do. But if you're writing out a document, it has to do with shall or will, or he will do this or shall do this. Shall has a greater emphasis of authority. So when you get a contract written up, you don't want wills in it, because there's loopholes in wills. But when it says shall do, it's an absolute cut and dry, it's going to happen, irrevocable, that's the way it is. And I just love that word in this verse, because it says he shall direct your path. It's not if he will, or you have a choice. He will direct your path. He shall. He shall do that. God is making kind of a legal agreement with us. If you will follow him in all of our ways, in all of our course of life, a mode of action, or the way of behavior, or conversation, or customs, or manners, or whatever. In every day, in every way, acknowledge him as a controller of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ takes care of our ways, our life. He protects us along life's pathway. Gloria and I had an experience, I think it was down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Going back a number of years, Christian Missionary Alliance at that time had an annual council every year. And most pastors would show up, and so Gloria and I showed up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we had some time, so we hopped in the car to see Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, the boulevards, beautiful boulevards, really cool place. And we were enjoying ourselves. And we were going down this side of the boulevard, a beautiful centerpiece between the traffic that was going this way and the traffic. And we were going this way and came to a stop of traffic light. And when I got to the traffic light was green. And so I went on through that intersection, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw a vehicle coming this way really fast. I braced myself. Gloria doesn't remember it, but I don't know what happened to the car. It never hit us. I haven't a clue where it was. I was absolutely positive. I had a hold of that steering wheel, and I was bracing myself to be T-boned. It never happened. And I've thought about this over all of these years. I've thought about how God protects us. Now, I don't know how that car missed us. I don't know if it flew over us or God caused it to dematerialize and then come back together again on the other side of the interstate. I don't know. And I probably had my eyes shut, just waiting for the bam to take place. But God had something special for both Glory and I, because we would have been wiped out in Charlotte, North Carolina, had God not intervened. Sometimes we don't even know it, how he does it, but we escape so many things because we're his children and he cares about us. And so when he says to us, in all your ways, acknowledge me. And this morning, I'm acknowledging him. He is a holy, wonderful God. He cares for us in the sunshine, and he cares for us in the valleys when it's dark and damp and cold. He will be with us when things are going very well. And he will be with us when we said goodbye to the one that we love the most. Because God is good. And he cares for us every single day. Tony Fontaine, now I know I'm dating myself, but Tony Fontaine was one of these singers that went around in the 70s. To churches, you can bring him in. Does Jesus care when I say goodbye? And I can remember him standing up there with the tears dripping off his cheeks, because the week before he came to our church to sing, his mother passed away. But he sang it, tears coming down his cheeks, and a huge smile on his face. Because that's how God takes care of us. He meets us where we are. And he takes good care of us. So in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In every part of your life, every part of the course of your life. When we are... in all our ways trusting him, and when we are not leaning on our own understanding, but acknowledging him in all that we do, then we have this wonderful promise. It's a legal binding contract that I have with Jesus, and you can too. He shall direct your path. I don't know what my future holds. Now, this is a cliche, but I know who holds my future. Pardon me for saying that, but that's true. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I don't know what Tuesday holds for me. I don't know what the outcome of all of this is going to be. But I know who holds my hand. That's a blessed place to be, ladies and gentlemen. Take it from an old preacher who's ministered for 50 years. I can tell you without any question, God has been faithful in all things. He wants my heart to continue to be acknowledging who he is, the great Savior of the world. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Amen.